get some more of information about that. It would be so nice to read that book.
Yeah, and you know what fascinates me the most is that Imam Khomeini connects women and defines women using the keywords of dignity, the origin of the good, bravery, and that women have a major influence on the destiny of themselves and also the society.
Of course,
it's like he sees the woman as the center of the leading of society. It's like they are the center of the source of the good, actually.
Yeah, and the source of inspiration and the source of every good thing that might happen to a society is a woman.
Yeah,
because with her is all the soldiers that are coming up in the next generation, and with her breeding is that the new scholars sprout in society, or great individuals would appear and contribute to their own societies as great individuals.
Yeah, and it is so nice. You know, it's like against the odds. In the Pahlavi time, there were a lot of people who were trying to like destroy his books, like not let his words be published. But when we go deep into the details of what he was saying, we find some just fascinating words. Like he clearly mentioned and stated that women are not going to be against men, but they're going to be beside each other.
Mm-hmm.
And even this single sentence can pave the way for life, like can pave the way for too many young people who are arguing with each other over, I don't know, girls not working, or boys being the most responsible person in the world, girls being dependent. And even his single sentence can be a teacher, can teach us a lot of things. And he was the one who was mentioning that women have a significant responsibility in all aspects of life,
mm-hmm.
like personally, like emotionally, like being the supportive one in the family. And this is so beautiful, like going into what he has mentioned. Although there are a lot of people out there, a lot of sources out there who are fake, who are just saying untrue stuff to kind of change the mindset of the new generation, we still have these great treasures that can teach us.
Exactly. And there is one very famous quote from Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayh. That's it. It is from the lap of a woman that a man start their journey to the heaven and to salvation, which is so beautiful and so deep, coming out from the mouth of a great leader and a great scholar. There's a lot more of detail to it, but let's go for a short break and then we'd come back.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Muslim Lady.
Well, welcome back again. This is Muslim Lady. Sister Nahid and I are talking about the perspective and the point of views of two great scholars and leaders, Islamic leaders in Islamic Republic of Iran, Ayatollah Khomeini rahmatullah alayh and Ayatollah Khamenei. So we actually covered a bit about Imam Khomeini, who talked about women as being the engine of the society. She is the one who's going to actually nurture the coming generation. She is the one who is contributing to the society for the flourishing and the betterment of the society. And then I guess you have some more to add.
Another point that I'd like to mention about Imam Khomeini is that when he was talking about the women's role in the society, like after the revolution, when he was just building the government, when he was shaping the country again, like reshaping the country again.
And redefining the laws and everything.
Yeah, exactly. At that time, when he was just considering the social presence of women after revolution, he completely focuses on the identity and dignity of the Muslim women from the viewpoint of the Islamic context.
Exactly.
Like, he believes that women should be out there, their dignity should be regarded, their identity should be recognized by all people in the society, and they are going to be held responsible for some areas of the society. They are going to play a role, which is not going to be something that is not that much important. the women are going to play the significant role in ruling the society, in governing the society.
Mm-hmm. They would have a major contribution and a crucial contribution to society.
And
of course, we can see it right now. After 40 years of the revolution, we could see that clearly, that how many doctors who are women, even we have now pilots who are women. So this is a matter of pride, really, how women have flourished as time went by.
Yeah, and it's so nice that in this society, after the revolution, it was like a tree being planted at that time, and now we can see the results growing.
The fruits, you can see the fruits. It's very interesting for those people who feel like, according to Islam, women are to be held up in the houses.
Yeah, limited.
Like, they have no contribution in society, they have no active role in society, they're not going to achieve anything as an individual. But the Islamic Republic is going to show the counterexample to what people try to actually show out of Islam.
It's like a picture of the Islamic society.
Exactly. In which women grow and they kind of speak up and they have their own rights.
And it's okay. It's even they are asked to play this role. They are not forcing the society to accept them. They are recommended. They are suggested. Yeah. They are supported by the society and by the big leaders of the country.
Exactly. They can take part in the parliament. They can have different political roles in society, as we can see right now. So let's cut it into a break, and then we'd be back to see the rest. Welcome back. Still, you are listening to Muslim Lady. Sister Nahid is helping us to know more about the detailed point of views of the two greatest scholars and leaders of the Islamic Republic. We're all ears.
Researching into Ayatollah Khamenei's beliefs and ideas, we can draw to some conclusions that are very nice and very useful, very helpful, especially for the youngsters, you know, especially for the ones who don't have much information about our leaders. And it's needed for them. It's like they need it for their own improvement.
Exactly. By the way, there is a website that is called Khamenei.ir. Yeah. And there's a lot of information about him personally and about his lectures. Like, there's actually a lot of information that you can get from that website.
Too much information. Yeah, and when we just get into his beliefs and the way he's defining women's role, either in society or in life, we can find the quotes and the words that he has clearly stated, that women should be, first of all, he has mentioned it a lot in a lot of cases, that women should be equal, like women and men should be equal. Like, he is also seeking equality between the genders.
Yeah.
He is also fighting gender discrimination, and it's really nice. The things that sometimes we label Islamic societies with, like, they are not gonna seeking this.
They just accuse them of being so biased about women, but that's not the
truth. While our leaders are just fighting for this, just like the opposite.
Exactly.
And he describes women as frontiers of spirituality. Mm-hmm. Like, he mentions that women are the one in the first line of fighting the evils, fighting the bad deeds, and they are gonna the spirituality and the good vibes to the family. And women are the ones who are spreading the good vibes to the world.
And also, he has some gatherings with women, like successful women or even mothers get to a gathering in which he talks to them directly. And then those sessions are so beautiful. Like, even he has some gatherings with poets, and in those sessions also, he actually talks to some poets that are women, and that's so interesting how much emphasis he puts on this strong role of women in society as mothers, as I'm saying, in different branches, like even the poets, even to the women who are a great business woman.
Yeah, and it's so nice that, you know, there are the signs of him playing and acting based on what he believes in.
Exactly.
He's not just going to say like, yeah, I'm going to agree with women having roles in the society and then act in the other way.
In a different way.
Yeah, exactly. He is just going with what he believes in. And
exactly.
It's really nice that we started a revolution. We made our own country this way. And we had a leader who was just supporting women. And right now,
who acts according to his slogans and mottos.
And right now, we still have one great prominent leader who is still there for women, who is fighting for women, who is talking for women and acting for women.
Exactly. And I'm telling you that even right now, he holds these sessions, and when he talks about women, it's as if the women are the center of attention.
Yeah.
And it really is like that. He puts too much of emphasis on the role of women as mothers and as active individuals in society.
Another nice thing is that he is kind of having updated information about women. He's talking about women being responsible for their wealth, being independent.
Exactly.
There are some updated issues, and he's still going on with this nice belief.
Exactly. And by the way, I should say that in Islamic Republic of Iran, there's a huge list of laws that advocate and support women's rights in marriage, in the businesses, in education, everywhere. Like, there are some details that are just mind-blowing. Like, it's so interesting that in our religion, every single detail has been taken into an account.
Yeah.
So, time is flying so fast, while there's a lot more there to talk about. Unfortunately, this was all the time that we had for today's episode. Then for more information, you can visit khamenei.ir. And also, there are some other web pages out there. Even in IRB English Radio, there are different programs that you could go and visit to have some more information. So thank you for staying with us. Until another session, I just bid you farewell. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
I know I'm waiting. Waiting for something, something to happen to me. This waiting comes with trials and challenges. Nothing in life is free.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
Limelight. Operation True Promise paralyzed the integrated capabilities of the U.S. and the Zionist entity in the field of electronic warfare, and is undeniable proof of the ingenuity in tactical design of Iranian defense industry experts. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. Kahan International wrote, "The so-called Iron Dome turned into a tattered tin shed as Iranian drones and missiles scored a strategic victory over U.S. technology to zero in on vital military targets in the heart of the usurped land of Palestine by piercing with precision the multi-layered defense system set up by U.S.-Israeli planners from the occupied parts of Iraq and Syria and throughout Jordan for protection of the illegal Zionist entity." Operation True Promise, launched in the early hours of Sunday, April 14th, was part of the vengeance vowed by the Islamic Republic as punishment for the Zionist violation of the diplomatic immunity of the Iranian consulate in Syria on April 1st that led to the martyrdom of 7 Iranian citizens. The murderous entity, ruled by a criminal clique of non-Semitic East European claimants to Judaism, is flabbergasted at Iran's powerful reach, although, as usual, it pretends to have intercepted most of the projectiles and that only minor damage was inflicted, with a few persons injured, but no one killed. This is nothing except sheer hypocrisy for the cowardly killers of over 33,000 civilians in Gaza over the past 6 months, who survive on American support and whose only pastime is raining death and destruction on others, when the fact of the matter is that Iran's retaliation was not designed to indiscriminately kill the innocent, but to destroy Israel's arteries of atrocities. This is fully evident by at least 7 of Iran's hypersonic missiles striking the Nevatim Air Base in the Negev Desert that houses the supposedly stealth U.S.-supplied F-35 fighter planes and putting it completely out of use so that the people of Gaza could be relieved for the first time of the daily bombing that kills hundreds of them and destroys their infrastructure every passing day. This particular strike was similar to the January 2020 barrage of Iranian missiles on the Al-Assad airbase of the U.S. in Iraq in retaliation for the unmanly murder of General Qasem Soleimani that was turned into a mess with no one killed, but over 100 American occupation forces inflicted with brain injuries. In the words of Scott Ritter, a former U.N. weapons inspector, who hailed Iran's response and confirmed the striking of the Nevatim Air Base, Israel is defenseless against Iran's weaponry. It confirms the fact that Iran's rapidly advancing drones and missiles clearly outsmart the various U.S.-manufactured aircraft, including the F-15, F-16, F-35, and refuelers that form the backbone of the Zionist regime's unbridled terrorism in Gaza, Lebanon, and Syria. In other words, Operation True Promise paralyzed the integrated capabilities of the U.S. and the Zionist regime in the field of electronic warfare, and is undeniable proof of the ingenuity in tactical design of Iranian defense industry experts. All said and done, it was a warning to the enemy that any foolish move now will lead to a swift and more powerful retaliation by Iran, this time to flatten Tel Aviv and Haifa as could be borne out by several of the guided projectiles that flew over the Knesset, or the so-called Israeli parliament, without the leveling it to the ground in order to herald the Islamic Republic's mastery of the skies.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today.
Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islam deena. Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islam deena.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Salam to you on Wednesday, 8th of Shawwal, 1445 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to 29th of Farvardin, 1403 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 17th of April, 2024 of the Christian Gregorian calendar.
أرجو رضاك يا الله أنت الرحيم يا الله هبني عطاك يا الله أنت الكريم ومنك العطاء يا الله أنت العظيم يا الله فيك الرجاء يا الله أنت الحليم
الرحمن الستار ملك الملك الغفار الوهاب المنان
Welcome to today's special, where now we'll listen to verse 136 of chapter An-Nisa.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Wa'budullaha wa la tushriku bihi shay'an wa bilwalidayni ihsana. وبالوالدين إحسانا وبذي القربى واليتامى والمساكين والجار ذي القربى والجار الجنب والصاحب بالجنب وابن السبيل وما ملكت أيمانكم إن الله لا يحب من كان مختالا فخورا
Worship Allah and associate nothing with Him. And to parents do good, and to relatives, orphans, the needy, the near neighbor, the neighbor farther away, the companion at your side, the traveler, and those whom your right hands possess. Indeed, Allah does not like those who are self-deluding and boastful.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
The meaning of the verse may be such, O you who have faith, go a step further, or be firm in your faith forever. A believer should elevate himself to a higher degree of faith every day, since there are decrees in faith. In this regard, Surah Muhammad, number 47, verse 17 says, And those who avail of the guidance, he adds unto them guidance. However, disbelief in some heavenly books and some prophets is the same as disbelief in all.
Shukran ya Rabbi, shukran. Hadayta qalbi, shukran. Allah tadarbi, shukran.
شكرا يا ربي شكرا هديت قلبي شكرا نورت دربي شكرا شكرا يا رب يا منزل القرآن يا خالق الإنسان يا ربي يا رحمن
شكرا يا
What after Ramadan? Ramadan is like an institution of spirituality where we correct and change our habits that we have acquired over the year without the worshippers of Satan. For now is the time in which Satan is locked up and he goes not have the chance to twist our thoughts and change our good actions. The first step is always hard to take, but Ramadan is the time to do it. So after Ramadan, we all can try to keep up with our good deeds, praying at the correct times, charity to the less fortunate, and genuinely being more patient and kind with one another. It's a month of transformation in which we change our actions, habits, and manners. But what will happen after it is gone? Do Muslims continue performing the good deeds? But what will happen after it is gone? Do Muslims continue performing the good deeds?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon the Holy Prophet of Islam, Muhammad, and his purified progeny. This is Ali, your host from IR English Radio. We hope you join us, inshallah, and stay tuned till the end of this show. Today, we are going to talk about the strategies for preserving the spiritual effects of Ramadan, the holy month of Ramadan, throughout the year. So the first strategy is to observe divine piety and refrain from sin, especially guarding the heart, ears, and eyes. Nothing can bankrupt a person as much as sin. In elaborating on the second strategy, it should be added constant remembrance and avoidance of heedlessness, considering oneself in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The main rectitude of a believer is his engagement in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The third strategy, which is recommended to preserve the month of fasting, the month of Ramadan, is to actually consider any skill acquired by the person should be maintained in order to stabilize and preserve it, even if in small amounts. For example, occasionally observe recommended fasts. That is, we need to fast on a regular basis, some days in a week, or let's say some days in a month at least. Preserving the bond with the Quran, a sort of friendship with the Holy Quran, maintaining the connection with the mosque, and engaging in the supplications and invocations transmitted from the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon them.
IRIB English Radio presents today's special, Every Day for 15 Minutes.
Be like the sun, shining with light. Be like a rose, spreading its fragrance in every palm.
Today's special.
Be like the earth, humble and wise. Be like the rain, pouring all your love to every.
On the continuation of this program, today's special, we have a tip on keeping Ramadan spirits alive. Don't give yourself the option. What makes you get up for work in the morning, no matter how tired you are? What makes you drag yourself out of a warm bed on a cold morning to get ready for school? It's the fact that you have no option and you know that there are negative consequences to not going to work. You'll be fired or about the school, you'll fail. Use the same kind of psychology on yourself when it comes to maintaining your good habit. Tell yourself, for instance, that Allah will be very angry with you if you do not pray Fajr, no matter how cold your room is on a frosty December morning. That in turn can lead to more bad deeds, which could lead to decreased faith and a downward spiral in your life.
My life is not the same when I'm too concerned by what they say. Why should I wanna have you to doubt you would be the worst mistake. Deep inside I know, amidst all the darkness and everything which makes no sense, I know that you exist. You are the light, you guides me through my darkest nights, shows me right from wrong in a world that often lies. Cause I don't need anyone, anything in life but you. No, I don't need anyone to show me my way. No, I don't need anyone but you.
After Ramadan, stay away from sins, and by that we follow to continue worshipping. One of the major goals of Ramadan was taqwa. Fasting should have trained us to control our nafs and stay away from sins. Whoever seeks forgiveness with his tongue, but his heart is still insistent upon sin, and his intention is to return back to the sin after Ramadan, then his fasting has been rejected and the door of acceptance has been closed in his faith. Even if our additional voluntary deeds sometimes slip, we should not compromise one, two things. One, the obligatory deeds, and two, staying away from sins. And if we do commit sins, we should be quick to repent.
So some of the things that we, aspects of the fasting that we also have to try to carry over into the rest of the year. Obviously, we're not saying that we fast every day in terms of food. That's not required from us. It's not an obligation upon us. And actually, it could even be prohibited for us to fast at that level. But we do know that in the traditions, it talks about the mustahab fast within the month. There are certain days in the week, certain months, days in the month that are recommended to fast. But some of the aspects other than that, that we have gotten out of this month, one is that this became a ability for us to train our mind and our thoughts. You know, because sometimes our mind and our thoughts may wander towards the haram. But we recall that Rasulullah said to even control your thought pattern and what you're thinking about in the month of Ramadan. And so if we've been able to control at least our thoughts for these last 29 or 30 days, then this becomes a precursor to be able to hopefully continue after the month of Ramadan, to remove those devilish forces, thoughts rather, from our minds, of having a clear mind, of having a pure mind. Because just as we did it in month of Ramadan, then also we should try to be able to continue in that within the rest of the year. We also learned a trait of submission and humility in the presence of Allah. You know, praying on time for 30 days, you know, breaking fast at a certain time every night, you know, standing for prayer, reciting Quran, doing all of these acts of worship towards Allah for the sake of earning a better place in Jannah, for fulfilling some level of obligation that we have to Allah, this humbleness and humility. This is also something that hopefully we learned in this blessed month, the importance of taking our prayers more seriously, trying to pray on time, trying to fulfill all of the obligations that we have upon us. You know, keeping in touch with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on a much more frequent basis. Because we know that when we get caught up in the rat race of life, when, you know, we're busy at work and things and commitments come up, it sometimes gets difficult to remember Allah. But hopefully this 30 days was the time that we were able to focus and reconnect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Thank you for listening to this episode of today's special. We leave you in Allah's protection and wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
الرحمن يا رزاق يا غفار يا قهار يا وهاب يا تواب يا رحيم يا عزيز يا سميع يا بصير يا لطيف يا خبير يا حليم يا عظيم يا كبير يا حفيظ يا وكيل يا قوي يا متين
بسم الله
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints.
It guides us through life. It has taught us everything. We should learn and appreciate what it gives us. And try to apply them to our daily lives. How is it possible? By means of Quran.
این خوندن قرآن و تلاوت قرآن قدم اول است برادران من این قدم آخر نیست
Reading and recitation of the Quran is the first step brothers not the last one
هو الذي ارسل رسوله بالهدى ودين
It is he who has sent his apostle with the guidance and the religion of truth that he may make it prevail over all religions though the polytheists should be averse
والذي ارسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله ولو كره المشركون
تلاوت القران با صوت خوش با آداب که شیوه خاصی دارد موسیقی خاصی دارد روش خاصی دارد اینها چیزایی لازم است
Recitation of the Quran in nice tones should be performed according to particular methods and tones
اما این کافی نیست
But it's not enough
مشکل بزرگ مسلمانان دنیا دوری از قرآن دوری از قرآن از قرآن
Muslims major problem is losing touch with the Quran Quran Quran
کتاب الله
Welcome. The Iranian response to the Zionist entity through attacks with drones and missiles has established new equations that experts and analysts in the Hebrew media have turned their attention to, notably the deterrence equation imposed by Iran. This equation has led to a change in Zionist security doctrine after its failure. I'd like to go ahead and welcome my guest today, Dr. Ali Hamiye, military and strategic researcher. Welcome, Doctor.
Thank you for having me with you.
Thank you. Dr. Hamiye, what does it mean militarily, of course, for Iranian missiles launched from 1,600 kilometers to strategically hit the Nafatim base?
Well, first of all, let's see what's the goal of this, let's call it hit back. I don't want to call it revenge because the Iranian, even though they declared their attack 72 hours in advance, and plus the drones and UAV needs subsonic speed. It needs like more than 4 to 5 hours to reach its target. it means that the humanitarian attack from Iran point of view, that they don't want to have any civilian losses or casualties. They declare and they have full confidence that they can reach their targets, even though the enemy is prepared to attack back, or prevent this attack from landing into their targets. They could not. It means the superiority of from like point of view as technology, as cyber security, the Iranian proved that they are very efficient, very sophisticated kind of technology, that they can reach any target in Israel, even though tried to be
Well, Doctor, many are saying that Israel wasn't successful in downing these drones.
Let me tell you this. The Israelis try to intercept most...
Some saying that it was successful. Excuse me.
From my point of view and from what I saw on TV, that I saw that maybe the Zionist entity plus all the American power with all the fleets in
the Jordanian,
Mediterranean,
UK,
and the Red Sea, plus the British Queen Elizabeth, in addition to the French and Germans, and plus using the airspace of Jordan as the first step of first front of defense. We can see that all what Israel and all those powers they could not intercept. Only they intercepted the drones and UAVs. They could not intercept any of the hypersonic missiles. And
yes,
we are talking about Fatah 2. Fatah 2 hypersonic is like with the high speed of 30 Mach or 16,000
yes,
kilometers. Or even though the most stunning point in this attack is using hypersonic cruise missiles. This technology does not exist for cruise missiles.
Well, Doctor, we are going to be talking a lot about this. Let's go ahead and see what else we have today. Let's move on now to the Iranian attack on the Israeli entity, which came in response to the consulate assault in Damascus that has changed many equations, notably the deterrent equation, as the entity lost the freedom to attack Iran without a real response. Well, Doctor, as we saw here, the equation has changed. It has shifted from the military deterrence to strategic patience. How important is this equation in context with the relation or the conflict between Iran and the Zionist entity?
This retaliation of Iranian army against the Zionist entity not only broke the strategic equation, but also they broke all the equations in all military meanings. Now we are talking about a new technology. We are talking about new satellites. We are talking about private GPS. For military Iranian missiles, we can see that the Iranian are very advanced. We can see also that the technology and also security and military superiority of United States and the Zionist entity are broken now. They have no more superiority in the region, and also Iran only retaliate against the bases that were responsible for the aggressions against the Iranian consulate in Damascus only. We are talking about Ramon.
You're talking about how it's changed the equation. Yes. What about Jordan? I mean, how has this changed Jordan's relation in the Arab-Iranian, since that this is the first time they've actually defended Israel?
We have two allies in the region. We have the resistance ally, and we have the ally of normalization in the region. And we can see that Jordan is a deep strategic geography for the Israel, and we cannot understand, neither me or even the Jordanian, that when Jordan declared that they defend their sovereignty and the airspace from foreign or strange objects, at the same time, they permit the Israelis and, you know, and the American airplane to be in the space and to attack the incoming missiles. So the incoming missiles are for the benefits of Palestinian. The counterattack is for the benefits of Israel. So now Jordan has declared itself that to take a side with the normalization or the people or the countries that are going into a full normalization with the entity. Let me tell you one other thing. It's very important. This was the first attack by now. The Iranian has strategically displaying it's a discipline move just to put the Israelis at their edge. You cannot go beyond this limit.
This
in case,
yes.
In case you want to go further, we have another stunt
we are
attack
gonna be, yes.
And will be like starting.
Well, I do want to get all this information from you more, so let's go ahead and see what else we got. The Iranian attack on the Israeli Zionists has cast doubts on the Zionist military's ability to engage in a war, especially with the collapse of the security doctrine that needs to be reconsidered. This is the opinion of an ex-senior Zionist Air Force general. Well, Doctor, some very strong words here. What equations did this Iranian attack on the occupation entity actually establish, including the deterrent equation against the occupation itself?
I don't think there is a deterrent equation anymore because Israel is exposed. Now we can see all kind of missiles hit their targets precisely. And all the bases that supposedly to be highly protected, and I'm talking about Nevatim, and we can see all the power of F-35 Adir was inside this base. They first destroy all the surveillance towers, and then no contact between the control base and airspace. I'm talking about the fighter jets.
Well, so, Doctor, I do want to get your opinion on
I'm talking about, I want to go into doctrines and the security doctrines. Well, I see that
right now everything is going around something and the time is winding down when it comes that Israel is now saying that there's a big possibility of retaliation. What is your opinion on this?
I think that there will be a retaliation and it will be a big mistake of the Israelis, and as we heard that even President Biden said to the Israelis that if you want to attack, we should know in advance. So it means they given a green light to the Israelis
light.
To attack, but please inform us in advance. That will be the biggest mistake that the Israelis will commit in this at this point, because the Iranian retaliation, it will be a very demolishing, crashing attack against the Israelis, and it will take us to a new stage which will not be tolerated by the Zionist entity.
So not humanitarian, as you mentioned before. Doctor, the truth understood by Zionists is that Iran is capable of aerial attacks, which led Israel Ziv, former head of the information department in the occupation army, to affirm the alliance with the United States of America. The Iranian attack has proven that the Zionist entity needs the support of the United States because it is unable to confront Iran alone. What is your opinion on this?
I think even though for the United States did not, it means it could not attack as it wish the Yemenis, and it could not intercept all the Yemenis attack against the destroyers and corvettes and whatsoever in the sea. It means there is something, new technology, which United States could not catch up to now. Now we are talking about if the United States can go and defend Israel. I think yesterday what happened a few days ago from Iranian attack, it shows that the United States also living in a lack of power to intercept all the Iranian missiles or drones. With the full package of the NATO and AUKUS and Israelis together, they could not counterfront the Iranian attack, which means now we are moving into a new not only doctrine, we are moving into a new stage and phases of a new war. This could not up to now be understandable by the United States and all its allies. What's going on? We used to say that Iranian declaring fake information about its power and the missiles, technology, and so on. It appears that it's true. Iran is very powerful. Now we are living in a very short time. The time is with us.
Exactly.
Okay.
Doctor,
and the land we are standing on very in our land.
Yes.
The American is far away. The Israelis are a little bit now hesitating.
Well, actually, I do want to go ahead and move over a bit to the political arena and see what's going on there. Zionist social media has reacted to the discussion about the response to the Iranian attack with various opinions from Zionist activists.
Ortel, it's clear that if we don't respond strongly, we won't be able to live here for even 20 years. Date. The problem is that Biden's America does not agree to attack Iran in response and said it will not help us in this. Ashri. Israel will not respond. We have weak leadership. Kobi Halevi. If Netanyahu does not respond, he loses the ability to mention Iran in the elections. Anna, Netanyahu falls and Israel falls. It cannot be defended. We are dying.
Dr. Hamiye, let's go ahead and see this. To what extent do the opinions of Gantz, Azenkot, and Smotrich appear realistic regarding the Zionist response, contrary, of course, to the demands of the United States?
Since when we see these contradictions inside the Zionist entity between who can prevail in attacking or not attacking, or questioning if the United States is going to defend us or not? This means that they are living in internal erosion and internal
conflict.
Corrosion. They are dying inside. They are now living in very, very vital situation that they cannot. They are not confidence. They don't have any more confidence in the United States going to defend us or not. Or somebody else will defend. It means that since the beginning, Israel was relying on the United States to be defended, and now they are questioning if the United States will attack Iran on their behalf, and if it's going to go all the way along, or maybe they are questioning if the United States is going to let them in the middle of the road right now, because all the American interest now at the edge. Either protecting Israel and the vital points of Israel, or protecting the American interest. I think the United States and the Israelis implement this idea that if Israel dies, it means the whole American emperor will go down with it.
Well, it was a pleasure to have you with us today, Dr. Ali Hamiye, military and strategic researcher. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Until next time, salam.
Our voice. voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.